Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now, here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 234. Are you ready to join the clan? Today, we have Ian Moyes, a keynote speaker and a sales director for Salesforce Cloud Telephony provider NatoBox. He's a longtime sales leader in the tech sector for the last 13 years, specializing in cloud computing. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Patience. Good to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan here is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan about your background, about what you did before you started your own online business?
Sure, yeah. So I won't bore people with the context, but I've worked in technology sector for seemingly feels forever, last 13 years, I think you said them, in the cloud technology sector. So it's the exciting world that lives behind all the Ubers and the Airbnbs and the Amazons and all the exciting innovations that we're all experiencing in the everyday life. I've sat behind some of the technology of that and understanding what's going on. So I'm a school speaker and I talk to schools and students about this stuff and what, you know, how people make money out of it and the effects and the good and the bad and the ugly of the impact it has on our lives, etc. But part of that also, I'm a sales leader in business, and the relevance, I think, to your audience is I've had to learn how to remain relevant both in my career but also to our customers and business, because things have changed, the way people interact with businesses. And I've advised and been a non-exec on a number of firms, advising them on best practice and policy and social media and personal brand and all this stuff that I often talk about. I've learned by osmosis, not by reading a book, not by someone teaching me, by the hard way, figuring it out, trying to stay relevant and successful in my everyday job and trying things and failing at things and ideas. So I've got lots of hopefully useful snippets that you'll pull out of me for your audience. My gain of being on things like this is to give a little bit back that I've gained from the industry. But also my view is if I ever attend an event, I think looking at your background and history, you talk about having listened to people at events and you learn a few things or you get a few ideas because those individuals, like I have been on a different journey. And we've just lived through a different experience, right? I've done things differently. So there'll be some things I've experienced or had to deal with or ideas I've bumped into, not because I'm clever, just because I've gone a different route that hopefully your listeners can pick up from and say, actually, out of those five things Ian said, I could use that one. That's really useful.
What is the most dangerous belief an online entrepreneur can have in terms of social media?
Yeah, so I think one is that, and it goes on a lot of businesses, that A, it's marketing's job, and B, you can't generate business out of it. But I think it's doing it in the right way. I think there's a lot of hype around social media through terms like social selling, and you just have to be on every platform. You just got to be there and you got to do all this, and it just solves your world. Social media is not the answer to everything, and just by being on it, it doesn't generate results. It's not as simple as have a social media account and suddenly you get success or you get business or orders or profile. It's about doing it in the right way and figuring out where do you spend your time appropriately, because it's very easy to get drawn into social media and spend a lot of time on it and get no results. And of course, you need to decide what is the result you're looking at to do, right? If you're trying to look to build your brand. A lot of people, I think millennials particularly, and I see this in a lot of studies that come out, want to be famous and want to be an Instagrammer, want to be a YouTuber and make money out of just appearing. And they see the success of some of the examples we see and think it's easy, and it's not. Sometimes there's luck involved, right? Some of these YouTubers who are YouTube stars didn't set out to do that, and there was no programmatic way that they went here's the seven steps to get there, and they just did it and it worked, right? Some of it is accident. They were in the right place at the right time, their content resonated and they took the lead. And others, I'm sure there's a lot of story, we don't hear about the failures, we don't hear about the 2,000 people, the 20,000, 100,000 that have put lots of effort in and have got no followers, no sponsorship and anything. So I think it's about understanding what your goals are. Why are you going to be on social media? What are you looking to do? And then figuring out, okay, what's the route to do it? And how do I experiment? And how do I fail to figure out what to do right? There's no easy answer to this. You know, there's no easy way of creating something that's viral, for example. Everyone wants to create that viral video that goes worldwide, right? But it's not easy. You can't engineer that in 5 seconds. It's luck.
Why do you do what you do, Ian?
Well, there's two sides to that, I guess. The day job is because I'm enthusiastic and passionate about technology, and to make money and pay your mortgage and pay your bills, etc. Why did I get involved in social media? And it was because I was trying to figure out in a sales environment, in an engaging with customers environment, how's the world changing? In the old days, you would literally, I remember going to a meeting, the customer would say, tell me about you. And they didn't know anything about you. And you'd have that, you could paint the picture and people would take a meeting to find out about you. And then the web came along and people can, do you know what? I can figure this out myself. We all do it. We all self-serve today. We all take peer review. And what I mean by that is we listen to what other people that we think are like us say. So if you're going to watch a movie at the cinema, how many people just quickly check, or on video or on Sky or on Netflix, etc., quickly check IMDb and look at the film and say, look, it's got 20,000 ratings and the average is 3. Now, they're from people you don't know, but you take judgment. If you're downloading an app on the phone, you look at the star rating. If you're buying something on Amazon, we all glance at that. What's the rating? And if in doubt, click in and see what people have said. So we live in a different world today where the buyer is more informed than ever before. So, you know, I got involved in social by trying to figure out how does this stuff fit? How does it fit in engaging with prospective clients? And slowly realized it affects you as an individual and your personal brand. And it depends on which industry you're in, to what degree. So in the tech sector where I work, and certainly in recruitment and certain sectors, all the people you deal with will be online and they'll check out your organization. They'll probably check out you as an individual, and they might quickly search you on LinkedIn. You can, because it's there, it's freely available in seconds to get a feeling and a first impression. So I always talk about things have changed. Like the first impression used to be when you meet someone, you meet them for the first time. You know, are they booted and suited? How are they dressed? How do they act? Today, a lot of the time, it's a digital first impression. You take a quick glance at that individual online. Like we're doing this before. We haven't met patients, but I quickly checked out what you'd written about yourself online because I'm about to have a conversation with you. It'd be naive of me to do that without getting some piece of background, and it's not hard to do. It takes 30 seconds and suddenly you've got information about that individual that they've portrayed on their social profiles or on their website or on their blog. And that's the world we live in today.
This social media, how did you know you are successful on it?
Well, that comes back, I think, to what is your objective? You know, a lot of people judge success being purely by followers. Well, that's an indicative that people are listening to what you're saying. And others say, well, I want to generate business through social media. Well, customers aren't going to order over social media. So it depends what you're using the platform for. You know, corporate brands often use it for a way to communicate with customers, particularly under the light of things like GDPR and data laws changing, where they don't want to hold customers' details and have for them to consent to subscription. You know, I can't mail you and send you information unless you've told me I've got permission to do so. Whereas on social media, if you follow me, you've immediately opted in by default to any content I share. Some businesses use it for customer support, etc. So it depends on what's your product, what's your service, and who is your customer? What's your buyer persona? You know, if your customers, and a question I often get coming off of what you said from people is, which social platform should I be on? Well, there's no distinct answer to that. But what I do watch is a lot of people and customers, particularly small businesses, open themselves. They're on every social platform. Why? The first question I said, why are you on every platform? Now, if your customer is on every platform genuinely, equally, I get it. But if you are selling artistic furniture or painting or something that's very visual, I would suggest Instagram is a great platform for you. But LinkedIn might not be. If your customer is a consumer who looks at your designer furniture, it's probably, not saying definitively, but Instagram and Facebook may be where you're going to find them. If you're in high technology selling business to business, you're probably not going to be on find your customers on Instagram and following on Instagram, because what you're selling them isn't lending itself to photographs of some widget or some technical router or box, right? So it's understanding who is your customer, where are they most likely to engage with you, and that's appropriate, and then be on that platform and do it extremely well. What's your age group demographic? You know, are they going to be on WhatsApp? Are they going to be on Snapchat? Or are they, you know, so it's too many businesses, I think, go on every social platform and do a poor job of it. You know, if you're doing customer support and experience and your consumer customers are on Facebook and they send you a message on Facebook, they're going to expect you to pick that up and respond pretty quickly, not leave it 4 days to respond, because by that time, either they've gone somewhere else, or if they don't have the luxury to engage somewhere else because of their subscriber to your service, or for example, they're going to be looking for another channel to engage with you. They're going to be looking on your website for a phone number, because actually, I just want to sort my problem out. So if you're serving a customer, what's the purpose of being on social media? Is it to serve? Is it information flow? Where is your customer? And what are they expecting of you on that platform? Is it just to push information, you're just sharing, or do you want them to engage with you? In which case, you better be responsive. So choose the platform based on where your majority of your customer is. Don't try and please everyone for every instance. If 3% of your customers might be on a social platform, it's your right to ignore that platform. They're not going to not deal with you because you're not on that platform, right? Mm-hmm. So it's do things sensibly. And think about it. Too many, particularly smaller businesses, in a large organization, a global brand, you can be on every platform because you likely got a big marketing team and the resource to do it, and you can do it well. If you can't, choose your battles. Don't try and boil the ocean. Pick the platform where your customer will want you to be the most, and do it really well. Rather than be on one platform and do it really excellently than on four and do four poorly.
Do you think people waste the time on these social media?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's the challenge in business, that if you haven't got a distinct plan of why you're on social media and what you're using it for, where your audience is, and then a plan of how you're going to go about that, it can be easily viewed as time wasting, right? So in running sales teams, let me talk particularly from a sales leadership perspective. Social media has its place in terms of, you know, it takes seconds to research the person you're going to engage with, and are they on there and what their interest is. Now, if you're selling a small, high volume transactional item, you probably don't speak to your client over a £20 sale. If you're selling £500,000 sale, you've got, you know, so depending on the level of value and transactional or non-transactional level, sort of depends how much you use social media for research, for example. But I wouldn't expect to see people using it as an excuse. So if there's a salesperson and they're trying to talk to a buyer at an organization, the first thing I'd say is, have you tried picking up the phone? Because if you haven't, going social media is not necessarily a quick way of getting hold of them. And too many people use it as an excuse because it's easier than picking up the phone and trying to speak to someone and going through the hard route, because people shield that. Do you know what? Yeah, I did my job today. I sent 20 LinkedIn invites and 20 emails. I've achieved something. No, you haven't. You created activity.
So that brings the distractions in the business.
You haven't created. Well, there's an activity and productivity. I could send 100 messages over a social media platform. Who cares? I send 1,000, 10,000. Is that better than doing 10? Or do you want the social media is a contributing factor to success, but it doesn't replace doing everything the old way. It is a different, it's a new activity in your toolkit, right? Mm. But it doesn't replace the old world totally. It contributes to the environment that we all now live in. It has its place, but it doesn't replace, if that makes sense.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. What have you learned from business as a whole?
Oh, that's a wide question, right? So the first thing that comes to mind is that it's ever changing, and it's we're in a business world now where it's changing faster than ever before. You know, change is accelerating. So if we go back even 10, 15 years, 15 years ago, social media platforms weren't around. Also, 15, 20 years ago, LinkedIn didn't exist, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And the web, not the internet, but the web as we know it today, hasn't existed that long really, in reality. So the world has changed. We're all more informed than we've ever been before. We all expect service and response faster than ever before, because we all live on 24/7. We have access to anything from anywhere, anytime. Everyone listening to this, I would doubt if anyone doesn't have a smart device of some sort. They have incredible compute power in their hand. They have incredible cloud compute power that's linked to, and information. We can access more information today than ever before for free. The problem with that is we're all busier than ever before. You know, you'd argue we're more productive, but we've all got, probably on our devices, things like WhatsApp. So we're getting messages from phone calls. We're getting Facebook messages, LinkedIn messages, whether it be Twitter, WhatsApp. You know, if you're on a daily average looking at this, anyone listening, think about where you get your message. You are being communicated at across more channels than we've ever seen before. It used to be pretty much just phone. Then email came along. Now we've got a plethora of ways people can get in touch with you, which means also how many times you pick up your phone a day, right? And we've all seen the studies on this, how much time it eats. So we've now got the opportunity to be more productive, but the productivity and what we do has changed because we're now distracted. And the problem with that is for business, is everyone can shield their interactions. We can all have that virtual assistant, right? Where how many of you look at your phone, you look at a number, don't know who the number is, and you let it go to voicemail, you screen. And electronic mediums are all screened, right, by default. So you've got to think about, if you're engaging with customers, the world we live in has changed. So the biggest thing I've learned is you've got to be open to change and to reinvent yourself, your business processes, the tools you use, and then reinvent them again. Because what we're doing today, there's all these terms about digital disruption and digital transformation, which all sound great, but they're not easy to do. But if you look at new companies that have been incredibly successful very quickly, and I mentioned a few, Airbnb, Uber, Amazon, you know, we all know them. They've all taken advantage of new ways of doing things that happen to be available today. So if you're in a business that's been around 30 years, you will have legacy systems and processes and legacy mindsets, not because you've done anything wrong, but because you were around when this technology wasn't open to you. It just didn't exist. So you did things based on what existed at the time. How many of us use faxes anymore? There are some business industries do, but we don't, right? Because you can easily send an image or anything on email without thinking about it. Whereas years ago, to send a big file or an image, to scan it was hard. Then how'd you get it there? And then you get techies involved to FTP it, and people won't even remember that term now. There are so many tools about today that make it consumable to do stuff that 10, 15, 20 years ago was incredibly complex. Today, we take it for granted. In 5 years' time, there'll be new tools available. So we need to think about, as a business, how do I leverage what's available to me? How do I find out about what tools people use that are affordable, more affordable than ever? How do I work smarter to better serve my customer, to better serve my employee, to be more productive? And that's certainly what millennials and Zs will look for as they come into businesses. If you look at recruitment, they're going to look at how we do some stuff or how we used to and shake their heads of, how does that work? Because they're so used to the new stuff, right? Smartphones, mobile apps, all the world. They've grown up in a world with all of this stuff taken for granted. So the biggest thing I'd say is be adaptive to change. Don't take for granted what you've got. You know, too many companies have done that, and we're seeing too many legacy businesses today which had big brands globally, Blockbuster Video, lots of retail particularly, getting totally disrupted and going out of business. Not because anyone as a customer didn't like them, but they've not adjusted to the world we're in, to the way the customer works today, and reacted to it and done something about it.
In your businesses, do you have a mentor yourself, a coach?
Yeah, so that sort of comes onto what I've just been discussing about, I guess, is the willingness. And I've just had a business coach in working with my team. And, you know, I think you've got to be open, have an open mind today more than ever before to new ideas, new approaches. And we go and talk to customers all the time, not doing a pitch for Natterbox, but about phone systems. And everyone, phone systems are phone systems. But one of the things I talk to businesses about is, phone systems have been left in the past 20, 30 years ago. How have they changed? You have phones on the desk that maybe have a better interface, but pretty much they're simplistic. And that's what we help companies do, is open their eyes to, shouldn't it be, you know, if you call a company today, most of us are used to, you get a menu system, you end up in a call queue, the menu system is generic, it treats you the same every time, it hasn't updated in any way. And yet technology is available that if you call a business, it can go, good morning, Ian. We see that you called yesterday with a complaint about your boiler being broken and we didn't call you back. If that's what you're calling about, press one and we'll put you straight through to a higher priority engineer who's waiting for you because we let you down. If press two for everything else, that's possible today, as opposed to I call back on that day and no one called me back yesterday. I'm now even more frustrated. I'm angry at the company. I've got a boiler that's not working, and they've put me into a menu system and a call queue for 40 minutes, and I get through and I speak to an agent and I have to explain the problem again. Then they tell me, oh, no, that needs to be a different, I'll put you in a different call queue. I'll try and get you through to someone, right? So we can transform the expectation of the customer through new technology that's available. A, businesses tend not to know some of this stuff. So there's so many things that people don't realize you can do today, is number one. And two, you've got to be willing to say, do you know what? We need to change. And to change is painful. You don't just click a button. You have to sometimes change process. People have to change their mindset. You have to unwedge yourself from products you've bought before and brands you've had before to new ideas. And I think that's the biggest challenge I see in business today. And I've had to go to answer your question about a mentor. I've had to go through that, right? Because it's so easy. I've been doing sales leadership for 25 plus years, and I've just had someone come in with my teams, and we've listened, and I've had to put my hand up and go, do you know what? I've just learned so many things, and I've had to say, we need to do some of this, but I didn't know those things. And that doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means I've never experienced those things. I've not heard those things before. I didn't know what I didn't know, but the world has changed and I've had to open my eyes and say, do you know what? I've been doing some things wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that, even though I've been doing it a long time, because the world's changed around me. So it's not that I was doing anything wrong. I was doing what was right for the environment that I've been in the past. But if you don't open your eyes and ears to something new, keep doing what you were doing before. And if it's not generating the results, you'll get the same. You don't change the results unless you change your behavior or something you're doing. So I think coaching, mentoring, and being open to new ideas, no matter how long you've been doing something, is incredibly important, and more important today than ever before, because the world continues to change at an incredibly rapid pace.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
If anything, I think perseverance and persistence. And the willingness to try harder no matter what happens. You know, everyone will fail at something, but it's, can you learn from that and not make the same mistakes again and work hard? So something I always say to people in my teams is, you know, there's nothing wrong with failing. Don't make the same mistake 2, 3, 10 times, but there's nothing wrong with failing. If you don't fail, you're not trying hard enough. You're not trying new things. If you try 10 new things, they're not all going to work. And I've made many mistakes, particularly in learning social selling, personal branding, and tried things that didn't work. But in 10 things I've tried, more work than don't. But I also look at what other people have done. There's nothing wrong with plagiarizing. If someone else has done something you think is a good idea, do you know what? That's a good idea. I'll use that in my own way. So I think it's willingness to learn and be persistent and keep trying, and you fight through. Too many people give up too easy, I think.
Let's talk about your business. Tell us more about Nutterbooks.
Sure. So without making a pitch of what we do, we transform, we enable, help a business transform their customer experience they deliver their clients and the productivity of their own teams. And the way we do that is we own our own technology, a platform we built many years ago, which is a cloud telephone system that integrates closer than anyone else with Salesforce. So what we use is we help a business use the customer intelligence they have in their business to transform the agent and customer experience. And as I described, won't go through the same thing again, it's things like personalizing the experience. When someone calls in, if you already know their phone number, we can immediately in real time look that up and decide what is that, who is that customer and where should they be routed? Can we tell that that customer called in yesterday with a complaint? And can we tell which agent spoke to them yesterday and try and route them to that agent? If this customer calling in has a gold service support package, should they get a different response time and go to a different team than someone who's on free support? Well, we can detect the phone number on the inbound. We can ask them questions if you wish. We can personalize. So we can do lots of clever things using the data you know about that customer and that intelligence to help route the call faster, quicker than we all experience today. But most, you know, when I talk to an audience, when I speak at events, rather than talking about our product, I talk about how many of you have had this journey, how many of you have had this experience, and the hand that we all have it, right? We all have generically a bad phone experience when you deal with most organizations. Because most organizations have focused on things like the website, the chat, but of all the channels open to them, they haven't advanced the phone interaction with the customer to the level the customer expects in today's world. And we help them do that. We provide a technology and the expertise and experience of our team to help them achieve that.
And who can use this Nutterbooks? Is it for the startup companies or anyone can use it? How is it easy to use?
Sure, yeah, it's for any size company, but the real key factor is they need to be using the Salesforce platform in some way, because that's where we focused our expertise. Rather than go generic and say we've produced something that does a little bit of integration with anything out there, we have aimed to be the master of one, and that's the Salesforce platform. So any business that is invested in the Salesforce platform, whether it be for sales or service side of their business, we can extend that investment into the phone arena to transform that interaction.
Okay, so where can we find this business and how can we get in connect with you?
Sure, so pretty easy. You look at nutterbooks.com on the web and social platforms, and you can look at earmoist.co.uk or earmoist.cloud, and they will route you to my key social platforms, which is LinkedIn. So even there's a small tip, you know, as a personal brand, rather than say go and search for me on LinkedIn and then there might be multiple with my name, you go to those URLs and it points you directly to my profile. So it makes it nice and easy to find me and interact with me.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. So, Clan, there will be more from Ian in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Ian's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Ian's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Ian.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey Clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to OnlineSuccessJourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path, so make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience, and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.